and precious life. So we'll find out, and we'll find out in decades, beginning with teens and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. Let us begin.
Katie sent me the poem, The Summer Day, and asked if I would be willing to share my personal answer to the question, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? The answer came quickly to me when I thought about it. What I plan to do with my wild and precious life is to help others live their wild and precious lives the best they can. I know that every creature, person, and piece of our universe is just as precious as I am. In all my hundreds of choices each and every day, I am affecting their lives in either a good or a bad way from the choices I make. When I first let Katie know that I was willing to share in this church service, I was concerned that I did not have enough to say. The answer was simple and straightforward, wasn't it? But of course, she was right. There was more to the answer. When I went back to look at examples of when I helped others live their life better, it made me realize something. In doing these things, it was really my life that was improved. One example of this is my two sweet little guinea pigs, Coco and Cinnamon. Every week, I feed them, give them water, and clean their cage. These two family members even join us in our road trips to San Diego each year, riding in the car, staying in motels, and hanging out at my grandma's house. But all of this is tiny compared to what they give me. Their sweet little voices give me a nice song to hear each morning, and their purring shows me just how much they care. They are my own little admirers who, although they are sometimes scared, will always be there for me. Another example of how helping others live their lives actually make my own life better is with my teacher's son, Pete. He is an 11-year-old with autism, and he's bright, warm, and funny. I have been watching him and his younger brother for a few mornings this summer while his mother teaches summer school. The other day when I showed up at their home, Pete's mom told me that he was having trouble eating that day. Some days he wakes up and has trouble eating, and he can only eat some crunchy snacks. That day I had happened to take cookies with me to share with the boys, and I was really unsure how that would go over with Pete once I heard about his trouble with eating. To my surprise, Pete came over to me to ask if he could eat some cookies. Although they were relatively uncrunchy, he was not only able to eat them, but he happily ate four of them. He even said multiple compliments about them. It wasn't until later, when my mom pointed out that I had helped him with his trouble, that I realized how much good I had done, taking the time to bake the cookies the previous afternoon. Pete gave me a hug and a yes when I shared the cookies, and he greeted me with excitement every time I visit. That is how I know that in the end, I am the one who gets so much just from knowing Pete. I am glad I can help him enjoy his wild and precious life just as it was given to him. Sometimes I have to admit, I feel really surprised that my teacher is willing to pay me for watching her two sweet boys. Hopefully, when I am in quiet times, when I start to doubt myself and I question myself, what else could I have done? I will feel at peace knowing that my friends, my family, and our universe can say, she helped me live my wild and precious life. My name is Victoria.
My name is Parker, and most people have a plan that they create in their early stages of life. How often do those plans turn out as expected? I created a plan that consisted of going to college and graduating. My course of study changed from political science to sociology and finally to English education. Teaching was the focus while in school. Well, that and getting into shape to compete at a high level on the football field. But soon, football ended, and the only focus was on completing school and my student teaching. I found something I was not looking for, and that was love. But my plan had changed. I found a person that I wanted to spend all my time with, and that's what I did. I spent as much time as I could with this girl. We spent time romancing each other, singing and dancing with each other. But again, as I heard so many times before, that my life would change and would not be what I expected. My life did just that, and the loves faded from my life. All of a sudden, I became confused with who I was, where I was in life, and who I was expected to be. I struggled to finish my degree, but with time I found success and completed it. In the plan I created when I was young, I was supposed to have a career lined up when I finished my degree. I'm still lucky enough to be involved with the sport that brought me success and friends I will have forever. And football is something that I'm still passionate about and puts my mind at ease. Although in the back of my head, I cannot help but feel that I still need to explore. I need to continue to take advantage of the time I have and see things that I have yet to dream of. It's what I really plan to do with my one precious life. I plan to never be stagnant. I plan to be open to an adventure. I plan to grow and evolve into a person that has a positive outlook on the past and the future. I plan to always be a loyal brother and son and whatever else I could potentially be. I plan to explore all possible passions that I have or will come to have. And I plan to read. There was a quote that I found in college from my favorite book, The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger, that seems to continue to speak to me and have meaning in the different stages of my life. The quote reads, "The mark of an immature man is that he wants to die nobly for a cause, while the mark of a mature man is that he wants to live humbly for one." When I first read that book, and specifically this quote, I was in high school, and I found myself to daydream about being a martyr. I wanted people to see me go down in a blaze of glory for something that I loved, so I could experience some sort of approval in their eyes. After reading that quote again in college, I paid more attention to the second half of the quote, about living humbly for a cause. It speaks to me because I have always had more respect for those who live their lives in a humble nature, regardless of their success or abilities. Finally, I plan to find something that I can live humbly for, and I'm sure it will take my entire wild and precious life to find it. But I am sure that every once in a while, I will break from the humble spirit and be wild and proud of the life I'm living.
Hi, I'm Lou Middleton. I plan not to worry about things beyond my control. I realize that in the past I have given too much time and consideration to things that I have no control over. I want to make time to do the things that make me happy. For example, having a picnic in the front yard with my girls, running at San Leandro Marina, or spending time gardening and listening to my chickens softly cluck to each other. I will focus on the positives in my life. I will smile more at friends and strangers. I will enjoy my work with my students and colleagues as I spend so much time there. I want to challenge myself to do things that I'm afraid to do, like swim. I plan to run a marathon in October and complete a triathlon before I turn 40. But remember, I'm afraid to swim. I plan to take action to help others in my community. I hope to raise awareness and funds for causes that I believe in, like breast cancer awareness and FESCO. I hope that the way that I live my life positively impacts my community. I plan to spend time with family and friends, and I want to be somebody that my children and family are grateful to have in their lives. Lastly, I want to really listen to people, and I want to appreciate the simple pleasures in my life.
I'm Chris. First off, I want to thank Katie for putting me in the 40s. It's very gracious. Not that gracious. What struck me is that I think I've just been asked to write my bucket list. The first thing that I want you to know is that I've avoided this project for years, and I'm going to continue to avoid it today. I have lots of lists in my life and lots of things that I have not done on them. I consider myself a work in progress in almost all things. However, I found myself thinking about being at the midlife stage, hopefully. What I want to do with the rest of my life is to make the most of it without thinking about it. I avoid the list for a couple of reasons. First, doing a bucket list makes me measure the time I have left rather than enjoying what I'm doing at the time that I'm doing it. A list also sets an agenda other than the experience. The more you think about it, the less you get out of it. If there's no list, I've got my options to learn, grow, and experience the here and now and everything that the life has to offer as I'm receiving my experiences. Secondly, does doing all the things on a list mean that you're done? I don't want to think that way. I don't want to pace myself to check the box. If the list is long or harrowing, I would have to pace myself. And if you were going to pace yourself, you'd actually have to know how long you have. And none of us do. I don't want to pace myself until the day I die. I want to grow, learn, and experience everything this world has to offer until my last breath. Third, I don't want to think that if I don't do something on the list before I die, that I've missed something. If I live my life to the fullest here and now, I won't have missed anything. If there's a list, the stopwatch takes over. The more you think about it, the less you get out of it. There are two pretty basic devices running in my head, and they control my life. One of them I can see and the other I can't. The one is a timer. That's the one I can't see. It's busy counting down the remainder of my time. The other little device is tracking what I've done with the time I have used so far, not by time, but by quality of my life and experiences thus far. My goal is to try and pay attention to the quality timer instead of the stopwatch. Rather than make a list, I decided to strive to make the most out of every experience and to leave my options open to have more of them. I just took a big step professionally, dissolving my partnership in San Jose and opening my little office here in Castro Valley. It's been a crazy couple of months, but I've had a very cool moment the other day, and it signaled that I'm going the right direction. I just finished a deposition, and I'd gotten the witness to sink his own ship in the nicest of ways. The lawyer on the other side, who was exhausted, driving herself crazy with big firm politics and hours and billables, approached me after her client left the room and said that I was the happiest lawyer she'd ever met. That made me even happier. It boils down to an approach that I'd like to share. Do some good. Treat each day as a new adventure and slow down to get the most of each experience. Learn about people, what makes them tick, and celebrate their lives with them. Always be learning about something new and open to new experience that I didn't know that I wanted to have. Ward off the fear of death in favor of the here and now. The past is behind me. I want to learn from it, but keep it there. Be a better friend and block the toxic people from my life. spend as much time as possible with Melody and my family in the process. Thanks.
Good morning, I'm Heidi Green. Lately, I've realized that I've been living my life as a human doing rather than as a human being. I have to-do lists for work, to-do lists for home, to-do lists for self-improvement, to-do lists for consolidating and maximizing my to-do lists. It's actually been forever since I've just sat down and read a book or meditated, gone on a picnic, even gone on vacation without a purpose, or just wasted an evening or a Saturday or even a weekend without incredible guilt at what I should have been doing. Perhaps it's just the time of my life. I'm in the middle of my 50s, and I seem to be in the middle of so many things. As many of you know, I was caring for my dad, but I'm also helping my stepson with his recovery. I'm supporting my stepdaughter work on fulfilling her dreams and her goals. I'm encouraging my husband to devote himself full time to building his diversity consulting practice into the national and really international agent of change he has been for many years, but is capable of taking to just a phenomenal level. And I'm also building a family, figuring out what family is with these three adults, my husband and my son and my daughter. And all of that just takes time. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't actually feel lost in the middle. I don't feel unappreciated or even like I want to be somewhere else. I just feel busy. Hence the to-do lists, of course. So I just don't lose track of all these things that I'm in the middle of. So here's the thing. What I want to do with my wild and precious life is to live every moment as consciously as I can. I want to be present for everything that I do. I want to be choiceful about what I do, recognizing that I want to do far more than I have time to do. I want to infuse the practice of mindfulness into my life. I want to do what I want to do with recognition that everything I do is actually by choice, including the things that I don't want to do, paradoxically enough. The things that I don't want to do are actually things that are a result of choices that I've made. And if I see them in that light, what I want to do is be attentive to what doing them does for me. Now, 4 days ago, I hit on a simple exercise that's actually helping me with this mindfulness practice. I'm writing a haiku for every day, celebrating some wild and precious moment that happened in that day. The first haiku that I wrote was, "Still moments abound. It is in the noticing that the peace resides." So, just thinking of that haiku and the others that I've written in the last few days allows me to slow down a little, to take a deep breath, and to feel my presence in the present. Writing a haiku is just a little thing that helps me live my wild and precious life more fully. So I'm definitely adding that to my to-do list.
Hi, I'm Stuart Fink. this may surprise you. As a child, I was afraid. Yes, I was a child. I was afraid to go into the water beyond my knees when my family went to the beach at the Atlantic Ocean. I think it was because of the movie The Giant Behemoth, in which a dinosaur emerged from the ocean and terrorized New York City. So it wasn't until high school, when I was required to take a swim class, that I finally learned to swim. To my surprise, I really love swimming underwater, so much so that as an adult, to go beyond my initial fear, I booked a diving vacation in the Caribbean. I learned to scuba dive and even explored a British sailing ship that had sunk to a depth of 90 feet during a hurricane in the 1850s. It was amazing swimming with schools of fish that just thought I was an odd-looking fish, and actually getting to swim inside the sunken ship. It never would have happened if I had not taken the risk. I took a leap of faith when I moved to California from the East Coast without a job waiting. Little did I know of the adventures in store for me by taking that step. One of those was deciding to enroll in a personal growth course where I met my wife, Robin. On our first anniversary, we made a fantasy of mine come true by donning our wedding clothes. I had already rented a tuxedo as a groomsman for a wedding we were in that weekend. And the bridal couple transferred some of their auto's decorations onto my car. We drove to San Francisco and rode the cable car to the top of Nob Hill and back down to the financial district. Enthusiastic bystanders were running after us with cameras and were waving at us. On the road, other drivers honked at us. We had fun pretending to have just gotten married again. Speaking of pretending, as some of you know, I really like to read fiction. And one of my favorite forms of literature is science fiction. I once read a science fiction short story concerning an astronaut who was marooned on an alien planet that was devoid of the color green in all of nature. The end result, that the astronaut became mentally unstable. At the time I was reading this story, a summer rain was just ending outside. After I finished the story, I looked outside at the glistening bushes and trees and began to notice for the first time just how much green there was in the outside world. There just seems so much we don't notice on a day-to-day basis. As we grow older, we realize how fast time has passed us by. I have two daughters, and it seems like just yesterday that they were sitting in my lap while I read them bedtime stories. They are now adults, and I, along with my wife, have encouraged them both to be adventuresome, take chances, and utilize their talents. It reminds me of the lyrics from the song, "You could be swinging on a star." So I encourage you all, no matter what your age, to go outside your comfort zone. Do, say, and observe things that you have been putting off. You too could have a wild and precious life. I look forward to seeing you all swinging on a star.
I'm Doug Sprague. I believe that being alive is precious. Due to a radically unlikely cosmic occurrence, after billions of years with the Big Bang, star formation, sun formation, earth formation, evolution of plants and animals, I appeared in the consciousness of this body, a very serviceable body and a mostly delightful experience of being alive, but a very rare and precious happening. To acknowledge my precious life, I plan to maintain an enhanced attitude of gratitude. I plan to do this throughout the day in a continuous chorus of thank yous. I will do this each night at dinner by pausing before we start to eat and mentioning the things that I am thankful for. Thanks for the sun on the bay, the coffee houses of Hayward, Aunt Anthony Trollope, Natalie, the curry chicken, the challenge of binding books. I believe that my being alive is wild, in that we humans evolve in nature, and it's essential for me to connect with plants and animals. I am part of the earth. I need constantly to be refreshing myself by seeing and experiencing nature. Not a quick glance, but focused attention to what nature is trying to tell me. So to acknowledge my wild life, I will plan to maintain a constant attitude of awareness, where I really look. And I plan to do this every morning by going to one of the sitting spots in our yard and pausing and taking in the day and touring through my senses and really focusing on, for example, hearing what's there, the low traffic hum, the birds chirping, the occasional dog, my neighbor's chimes. For example, seeing the leaves on the details of the leaves on our apple trees and all the things that are green in my visual field. For example, feeling the wind on my face, the ache in my left knee, the slight sense of anxiety in my stomach, getting in touch with myself and my world. Further, at my morning outing, I will read a new poem, enjoying the rhythm and word sounds, plus the often new and unexpected way of looking at things. A good poem opens me up to new views about myself and the world. I have many, many plans for the coming years, but really seeing and appreciating my wild and precious world is basic. As Robert Frost said when he went forward to see his world, you come too.
Good morning. My name is Frank Burton. It's been delightful for me to reflect on this exercise. I was asleep during the Civil Rights Movement and during the Vietnam War. I was asleep as I raised a family and climbed the corporate ladder. I awakened long enough in 1972 to work hard and help elect one of the first strong women to serve in Congress, Patricia Schroeder from Colorado. She became an effective voice for cutting military spending and for women's health care and equal rights for over 20 years. But I went back to sleep. I awakened again briefly and demonstrated against nuclear development and against the first Gulf War. But I went back to sleep. Beginning 2 years ago, I gradually awakened to a shocking fact, almost as shocking to me as awakening to the fact that God was dead in the 1960s. Our democracy is dead. It was killed bit by bit, hidden in plain sight by military, industrial, and financial corporations. From about 1942 until the recent Great Recession, we experienced an unprecedented period of prosperity which was fostered by the regulation of unbridled capitalism around the beginning of the 20th century, also by the growth of labor unions, and by the social and economic reforms instituted by Franklin Roosevelt. This sustained development lasted over 60 years, free of the devastating depressions which had characterized our history up until the Great Depression, the 1930s. So how did our democracy get killed? Blows began in earnest with the right-wing think tanks and focused efforts to seize political power by corporations, as was mapped out in the Powell Manifesto of 1971, and with the frontal assault on labor unions, the gradual dismantling of regulations which had helped held capitalism in check, and the trickle-down economics, all instituted by Ronald Reagan. More blows were hit by deregulation of industry after industry under Presidents Bush 1 and 2, and also Bill Clinton. These are the main factors which have led to the great economic injustices that we're just now waking up to, and they all have aggravated many social and environmental injustices as well. What is it I plan to do with my one wild and precious life? Agitate. I will not let myself go back to sleep. Not this time. I mentor half a dozen local councils of the largest progressive organization in our nation's history, MoveOn.org. I help them learn how to wake people up to the danger to our democracy, how to hold our elected officials accountable for their betrayals of the people they're supposed to represent, and how to get progressives elected to office. And at the same time, I'm alert to social injustice, environmental injustice, and the economic injustice in our world, and do everything I can to wake up the people I know, including this congregation, of course, to those injustices, and to encourage them, you, to take action toward correcting the injustices in our world. And the other thing I do, the ones of you that know me better know, that I also take time to be silly and play and have fun.
Well, at 90, you know this is going to be short. So I decided that I would clean out my files. That'll probably take the rest of my wild life. And they're paper files. All of you don't have paper files. And so I was fairly successful by about one-tenth of the files. When I looked back, and there was a folder that was stuck and it was dropped way under the rest of the file, so I tugged on it, got it out, and what was it labeled? Pat's Writing. So that was the end of cleaning those files because I wanted to see what was in there. It was awful. A lot of the stuff was just awful, so I got rid of that. But in looking through some of it, it wasn't bad. It needed a little work, maybe. So that's what I did. I started reading those files. And then I decided, well, shoot, I'll go around with a pen in my hand, and maybe I'll write something else someday. And so that is what I've decided to do, and I have written to Barack Obama, and I got an email back thanking me for it, and of course he wrote it. And And I so admire Bob Britton, and I'm really very much in approval of him. And as I, one of the poems or the verses that I found was, as I look at the map of my life, it seems to me I've traversed the foothills, saving the mountains to scale my mind. That's it.
So I know you're probably wondering how you can remember all the things that you heard today. So I put them together in the blessing, in our benediction, and I made little copies for you so that you can take them. Take your benediction today from this wisdom. Number one, help others, especially animals. Number two, don't give up your passion. Number three, smile more. Number four, pay attention to the quality meter. Number five, live consciously. Number six, go outside your comfort zone. Number seven, maintain an attitude of gratefulness. Number eight, be awake enough to agitate. Number nine, fool around a little. And go in peace. Amen. And blessed be.